Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Triple M Footy for Ream Hot Water.
Sunday Triple M NRL. We are live at 4 o'clock today. We've got great match of the day too. Sharky's taking on Manly. Just getting a few texts here now. Gordy, if you want any South merchandise from our wonderful merchandise shop there in Chalmers Street, drop on in, head up to level 4 and get your FPOS card out, old mate. We'll give you membership rates discounts.
Mate, I'll stick to the Titans gear, thanks.
Okay, well, that won't be hard.
It'll be
a lot easier to get, too.
Hey, listen, mate, I like it.
A lot easier to get.
Yeah. Hey, what do you mean?
Well, there wouldn't be.
Mate, you talk about that you want a car for my friends at Frizzell's and all that kind of stuff. But don't go bagging it now.
He is a bigger liar than you
are. Are you ever
going
to
let that go?
Mate,
I want a Rangie. What this, mate? I wouldn't mind driving the Audis. What other cars do they have? Mate, do you think the Ford Mustang or whatever you do? I know what you do. Every single car.
No, I've told you that I want for me a Chev Camaro, and you tell me Frizzell's don't have that range.
Oh, mate, they can get it for you.
They can get my wife a car.
Yeah.
We'll work on something there.
Yeah. Aren't you after one of those electronic cars?
No.
No?
Why would I want one of those?
Because you want to save on petrol.
See, every time I, speaking of cars, Gertz, every time I see you, you're in a different car.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting, isn't it?
Okay.
What, do you don't keep them for long or? You got a fleet of them?
Well, I don't think I've ever seen you in the car park, Anthony.
And what about while we're on cars, hoops, you've got like a tradesman arrangement going on down there with the big pickup truck. But, mate, you would not know how to change a light bulb. Why don't you just go for a Ford Laser or something? Come on, you blokes, come on.
What are you driving around in?
I got a Ford Ranger.
Oh, that's a man's car.
Yeah,
I know. That's exactly right. And he's hardly a man.
Well,
is he?
Just because his belly's small and, you know, he doesn't like a big meal doesn't make him any lesser a man.
Manly and Cronulla, it's going to be a big game this afternoon. Before I get to that, boys, maybe if you've missed something, you want to catch it. Well, you haven't left it too late. Download the Catch Up podcast.
I thought he had a Triton.
A Triton?
Yeah, I thought he had a Mitsubishi Triton.
He's not in that league, can't he? He's not good enough. Download the Catch Up podcast available exclusively through the Triple M NRL app. Right now, how do you see this one going this afternoon, Gertz? Two of the real achievers of the competition so far, they've both had injury woes, yet here they are, both well and truly in the top eight and fighting out to get from 10 points to 12.
I'm really looking forward to it. Two sides, as you said, Maroon, that have really been punching above their weight so far this year, and they've kind of had similar seasons, haven't they, where they've both copped a lot of injuries, they've had a lot of disruption in the off-season, both got new coaches, and have been able to come out and put in some really good performances. The problem for the Sharks this afternoon is they've got a horrible record against Manly. They've actually lost 15 of their last 17.
Wow.
So Manly take a little bit of a psychological thing into this one. I'm not sure about the fitness with Fifita either. I think him and Perreault will play, but they went off sort of early in the contest last week, and the Sharks were made to sort of come back against the Titans without them. But with some of the form, guys like Chad Townsend, the development of Flanagan, obviously Josh Dugan's been doing a really good job there at fullback. There's even talk of guys like Josh Morris putting their hand up for their origin spot. So they're definitely a side, along with, you know, some of these young guys coming through with Williams and Ueli and Capewell and Nakora. I mean, they're just having a really super season. But the Manly side will come into that one with a fair bit of confidence, given the fact that they've won three out of their last four. And Gordy spoke about their performance last week against the Broncos. Again, you know, they lost Sully really early, but Dylan Walker comes back in for him. Fenua Blake comes back into the side. He's been one of the best front rowers all year, and I just like the way their dummy halves play, you know. You start off with Coruscant, and then Fainu comes on and causes all sorts of trouble through the middle of the field. I think this will be a belter of a game.
Yeah, well, the forward packs should probably even each other out, and it come down to the kicking game. Like, Manly were in that game against Brisbane last week, and they had a try disallowed from Shepherd, and I thought, you know, so they could have went up 12-6 at half time, and they didn't, though. But their kicking game was quite poor. So they had all the momentum, and they did everything right, but they just didn't finish off their sets good. So the Sharks aren't going to go away. They're a tough, gritty side. So you'd probably be leaning towards Sharks because they got a bit more, you know, bit more icing on the cake, you'd think, today. But, mate, it's an intriguing game.
It can go either way. I'm big on the bogey side skirts. You know, they're often those trends where certain sides and can't handle other teams for whatever reason. Generally, you can read a fair bit into that. So 15 out of the last 17, that's a pretty telling statistic. Chad Townsend's been immense. The control that he's shown and the leadership that he's shown without all those other star players who are unavailable at the moment. I think it's in excess of $3 million that they've had on the sidelines, the Sharks. I think he's been one player who has really stepped up and delivered for them. So look, I think it'll be it's a great rivalry between these two clubs. And on the back of ScoMo getting up in the election yesterday, Anthony, I think there'll be a big crowd at Shark Park and start the footy.
Righto, boys. Well, that might just about do us here. The 4 o'clock game this afternoon. Manly take on Cronulla live. And you can catch it right across the Triple M network. Gordy, tell us, have a great call this afternoon.
Thank you, Anthony, mate. I'll just turn the printer back on.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much.
The Xerox.
Ryan's part of the call, so we don't say goodbye to him. Hoops will catch you on NRL 360 and all the great shows that they have on Fox League there.
Thanks, Anthony.
You've done an outstanding job today.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you very much, and goodbye for now.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. The weekend is here, and this is it for McDonald's. We are Triple M Footy.
Welcome to part two of Sunday Triple M's Match of the Day, and what a fabulous Sunday Match of the Day we have. PointsBet Stadium is the venue. It is the Cronulla Sharks and the Manly Sea Eagles. Always an intriguing battle. Last year, Manly beat the Sharks 33-32. Let's hope we get something similar. That one actually went to Golden Point. And the Manly have an incredible record over Cronulla in recent years. The first game, my goodness, Newcastle 28, Dragons 0. The Knights are hot, the Dragons stink. And it could have been even worse. A couple of other opportunities let slip by the Knights. So the crowd in Mudgee getting plenty of value for money, especially if they're Knights fans, because Kalen Ponga's on fire. And their forwards are just absolutely decimating a listless Dragons team. Ryan Girdler, Gordon Tallis, and the greatest ref of all time, Bill Harrigan, are here. Hello, Gordy.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Nice to see you again. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, obviously, Magic Round. What, was I here the week before?
Did you say you were pounding the pavement? Does walking up the Caxton Street count as pounding the pavement?
A couple hundred metres.
Mate, you had one of the great weekends. And you got to play, you were playing at home.
Well, it was really tiring, actually, Dan, doing a, because it was busy through the week. There was a lot of promotions about the weekend and the Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and I went to the game as a fan on Saturdays, and I don't often get it because rugby league is not there. So Broncos are either Thursday night or Friday night, and I'm always working or Sundays. Yeah. So to go to Suncorp Stadium and watch another game, and the greatest thing about the weekend that I can say is there was at one stage there was a Manly, Cronulla, Raiders in a Newcastle jersey, and they're all mates, and Dragons were playing someone, and they're all cheering. So, like, it's cool that everybody was there, and it's a weekend for rugby league fans, which it is every weekend, but you sort of took the hatred out of the crowd, because when you go watch South and Roosters or whatever, there's just two teams, and they don't talk, but to have all of them there, everybody was picking teams, it was a really good carnival atmosphere.
Gordy, was there an exchange where a lot of people watching one game, and then when their team had finished, were bailing out and you see an influx, or were people hanging around to watch two, three games?
I think on Friday, because it's obviously the first game, it was like the crowd just kept on building. I didn't see too many people leave. And on Sunday, the Raiders and the Roosters, they stayed because it was South.
Well, we noticed
the Roosters fans were staying because it was South and the Cowboys. And then obviously Queensland is going to watch the Cowboys. On Saturday, the crowds got bigger because of there was big race.
Yeah,
mate, but it was big race day as well.
Oh, so they came after that's the races.
So it's our big races weekend. So that, I think the next month are our biggest racing crowd.
Well, they're doing it for the next year at least. I think the next two, and then there's options for more. What would you say they could do even better next year?
Prices. O'Brien's catering pricing. That's it. Because
it wasn't much, relatively speaking, to get in, was it?
No.
It's like $75 bucks got you the full day.
I actually think the NRL did a really good job, but to go there, and I know that some of my mates were there for three games. So what's that, 6 hours, 7 hours?
It's a lot of food and a lot of drink.
A lot of food and a lot of drink. And if you got your kids, it just made it expensive for family. So, mate, a lot of them travel there. They're up in accommodation. I think that weekend, you know,
maybe the NRL could put in some sort of they could subsidise a little bit for the catering companies and maybe take a little bit of that out.
Maybe just put food stalls outside. Like, then, mate, let the families go out there and grab.
Yeah, but there's contracts with stadiums.
Oh, too bad. Well, price it properly.
Right. Now, that's a fair observation.
There, mate, you go there and you bid for the contract. Don't go, oh, mate, well, I've got this thing now. Mate, it's built. You get there, it's a captured. Mate, you get 30,000 people to come to your restaurant every Friday or Saturday. Don't rip them off.
And they're additional games too. I mean, at the start of the year, the contract before the Magic Round was proposed.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to point out what they would put in front of you as an obstacle.
No. Relax.
Hey?
Solutions.
The fans and pricing, I think, is something that the NRL is still looking at. And then I think that's the last piece of the puzzle.
Well, I think we all agree too. Get rid of the Thursday game.
Up there and have three on Sunday.
You can't do that, can you, for the broadcasters?
Well, that's where you got to offer the sweetener to Channel 9. It was Channel 9's decision. They said,
on Sunday.
We need to be compensated for this. We pay $1 million for the game, each game, and we make good money on a Thursday. And, and they offered something, the NRL, but it wasn't to 9 satisfaction.
And what, have three on the Sunday?
Yeah, I reckon three on
the Sunday.
I'd reckon a 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock Sunday would work.
You think 6 o'clock would work? Because people got to get to work the next day.
But make it Broncos.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, start it with a couple of big Sydney clubs on Friday night, but finish it with a local. You know, so, mate, they'll stay.
I tell you, it's great.
My Broncos get 40,000. So, mate, put Cowboys or Titans Broncos on to open it. You mean like make it either local to open it or to finish?
Anyway, it was great. And you know what? It actually looked really good on television because when you have all the games come from one place, Fox in particular, you know, had the Spider Cam and the Rover
Fox Cam.
Is that? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Flying fox. Sorry, the flying fox.
That's right. With the sound effect. I mean is that you can just all of a sudden it looked unbelievable on TV as well. So anyway, Magic Round, great success, and I love a Gordy straight away. Oh, we've got to take it to Auckland. We've got to take it to. Oh. Why don't we just enjoy? We've got a captive market in Brisbane.
Got
Let's
to sell
just
it
enjoy
down.
It.
It's all about making money.
I understand. Well, they're making money.
No, I'm just saying.
Queensland government's pouring in the money.
I mean, Queensland.
Until they have a proper stadium here and until that one's built at Allianz where people actually want to go, and then they say, oh, well, there's 9 teams here. Well, go watch it because you've got footy here every weekend.
That's what I was going to say.
If you want to go watch South
Ledger
play,
just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they get so many games in here in Sydney. And the other thing is a lot of people are talking about taking it, whether it be Auckland might be a different scenario, but if we take it to somewhere like Perth, how many people are actually going to travel over there to support? Maybe it's different with an Origin where you're going to get a lot of locals, but the locals might come to a day. Yeah, but how are you going to fill a stadium for 3 days?
Mate, I said it's got to go to our fans first. So if it leaves Queensland, it's got to come either to Newcastle or Sydney, and that's it.
Speaking of Newcastle, I think they're in again. Kenny Dow has planted it down in the corner. This is early in the second half. They're slaughtering the Dragons here. Newcastle are going to be in the top eight for the first time this deep into a season since 2013. 32-0, the try's confirmed. What a hiding they're dishing out to the Dragons.
Dan, I've got to say, what a great call last night. And you got the good buy-in too.
Thank
good buy-in, Sam Williams.
Yes.
Wasn't it the Sam Williams
Sam
try?
Williams,
what
yes.
a try.
What is that? A big play.
Oh, mate, but do you know what I loved about it? That's not on the game plan. That's just, Gerds has got the ball. Hey, Gerds might beat this bloke. I might just push up on the inside. Pushed up on the inside. It was brilliant.
I was a little bit surprised they didn't use Kotrick a little more because you had Ethan Lowe that was on the left side that had come in for Turner. And Kotrick only got the ball probably a handful of
times.
It's
like they worked it out with 20 to go.
Yeah.
Let's get it out to him because he was killing Lowe. He turned him inside every time.
Well, as you would. I mean, if you're, and that's where a guy like Nick Kotrick, and I guess he's just a young guy still developing the skills, but you've got to demand the footy in those sort of situations.
Was the brutality coming through on TV as it was live?
It was physical.
They whacked each other.
I know that it was really high completions and I know that there was low missed tackles and both sides kicked over 600 metres, so there wasn't a lot of metres on show, but you don't get the actual
It was intense. It was intense, mate, right? Any time a team was stuck in their 10, the other team were loading up defensively. It was...
You know, Sam Burgess has turned into a real Aussie because he hates those Englishmen, doesn't he? Every time he plays
I like this theory.
But usually, every time he plays against an English guy, it's like, hey, listen, I'm the big dog here. And I love it. Mate, I love everything about it. To watch, Wayne Bennett was a bit animated at halftime. He's all like, listen, mate, because he used to say to me, are you going to play with your brains today or not? But sometimes you
lose
your
brain. Was he pointing? Because pictures we were getting, he was just hands in pocket and it was very reserved.
No, there was once where he had a go and I know it was directed at Sam because I've had a few of them myself. It's just, mate, you're pretty much a dickhead, right? put your ego in your pocket and play what the team needs and keep your personal agendas out of this.
You
get a bit passionate and you want
to... How often did he make that speech to you, my friend?
It all depends. Well, sometimes he'd say, mate, are you going to have a go? Sometimes he's poking me to go and be that guy. But sometimes when I'm that guy and I've actually lost my shit and I'm into him, he'd be like, hey, mate, what are you doing? You're starting to, you know... I think he likes it when it doesn't affect the team's performance or the outcome or the result.
Yeah.
And last night, I think it was a chance of doing that with Sam.
Well, interesting, Bill. 13 penalties in the first half, one in the second. Do you think there was a little powwow at halftime in the referee's dressing room? We need to just lay off a little here. And basically, all those penalties were warranted, by the way. Yeah, the teams were deliberately laying in the tackles.
It is a possibility, but the other possibility is that the teams went into the dressing shed and their coaches turned around and said, we have had enough. We are getting hammered here. We can't afford to give away stupid penalties.
Fair point.
So stop giving away the penalities and let's play some footy. Yeah. That could happen as well.
And if both coaches give that and they both do it, then it opens up, but it looks like it. And if one team doesn't do it, you go, well, they get penalised out of it.
It wasn't one of those rare games.
You know, Wayne Bennett hates penalties.
Mm.
He's never coached to give penalties. I don't know now. I've sat in the dressing room for him. But coaches don't like giving them away. Apparently some do now, but in my experience, you were in trouble if you gave away a penalty.
It wasn't one of the rare games where you actually felt better about both teams at the end of the game. Like South, well, we know their class, but even Canberra, they could have won that game.
They'll be disappointed, but you know, when the dust settles, they'll look back at that performance and they'll take a lot out of it. They were really, really good.
Yeah.
I thought they were exceptional. And look, you know, if Cracker holds the football, I know ifs and buts, and the week before was
Papa
the same.
Hits the big pad.
Kotrick gets away against the Roosters the week before and throws it back in the inside. I mean, they're not far away. And they've got some key personnel. That was the impressive thing about it. When you looked at some of the players that have been so dominant for them over the last 5 or 6 years, Rapana and Leilua on that right side, they were their go-to guys. They were generally, you know, the guys that were not only just coming out of their own end, but icing it when they needed points scored. And they lost Bateman as well going into that game. So those guys will trickle back into the side. But I just thought their performance, take nothing away from South and the way they go about their business, and a little bit like Melbourne the other night, they just find a way to win. And Cody Walker and the things that... The difference in his game this year as opposed to what's been is he's picking his moments to do it when the team need it. Like, he's their go-to guy now. And over the last couple of years, he's been developing into a player that could do those things in moments of the game but not in the big moments. This year, he's actually the difference between the good sides when they meet each other. And that's a massive step for him.
Remember last week we called the game and we noticed he was sitting back because he didn't have to. Cook was killing him on his own.
Yeah.
But when he just had to step in, he stepped in. So that was an evenly matched game. I think this one might be as well. Sharks, Seagulls. It comes up in about 45 minutes time. Let's go to a man from Ladbrokes. Roger Aldridge is on the line. Hello, Rog.
G'day, gang. How are we?
We're going well. Manly have been a good betting play as an outsider this season. They've been one of the great against the odds teams. What about today? They have an outstanding record against the Sharks. Are the punters giving them a chance?
Not as much as what I would have thought, given that record against the Sharks. They're $2.40, and the Sharks $1.55, at about twice the amount of money weighted on the Sharks than on the Sea Eagles. So, money certainly with Cronulla, and the line in this one, 4.5 points.
We've got some flies out there today, Roger. Who are they looking at for first try scorer?
Aaron Gray from Cronulla's been backed, as has Josh Morris. So Gray's at $8, Morris at $13. The shortest way home from a Manly point of view is Tafur at $9. He's attracted some interest. And Dylan Walker, $17, would also be a bad result for our bookmakers.
Mate, after, what is it, round 10, mate? What's the premiership market doing?
Roosters have eased slightly after that loss to the Bronx. So they're $2.75 out to $3. The Bunnies at $5. The Storm $5.50. And the Broncos have shortened $21 into $15 after two wins on the trot.
Oh, all right.
That's a good price.
There we go. What, $15?
Yeah, pretty good price.
Yeah.
Might have back anything at $15.
Yeah. All right.
Get on, Geordie.
check. It would have been better if you backed them last week.
I think we're 400 to 1.
250 to 1.
They are so disappointed.
But I'll give you 400.
You always bag me for being harsh on your Titans. It's because I back them every week. I think This is the week they're going to finally realise their potential.
I hear that? 400 to 1.
Let's
get on, boys.
Well, yeah, okay. Maybe.
No, not them. Somebody else.
Yeah. Someone else's money.
The fans. Well, you know what I mean, the fans.
Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself, but please gamble responsibly. Thank you, Rog.
Thanks, guys.
They are looking at another Newcastle try, and it's Kalen Ponga, but they're looking at a destruction 40 metres up the field here.
My God, he's doing some things out there this afternoon. And he went off at halftime and he'd already scored 20 points. If this one's allowed, it's under the post. He'll be 26 points with about 25 minutes to go.
No, they're not going to give it, I don't think, Billy. They're trying hard. Frizzell has gone a bit Hollywood. He was touched by Fitzgibbon.
Well, I think it's more about whether he gets the ball on the outside. And we saw that a couple of times last night with one of the sides that kept getting it wrong in their line running. And I think they might give this one, Dan.
All right.
It'll be a tough one because when a player is in front of the ball carrier and he's in an offside position and any interference whatsoever, they normally take that off. And so here he comes now, no try. He's in front of him. If he's
That's
behind
a bad
him, mate,
decision.
No, it's not. He's in front of him. He's in a position of offside. You can't block.
Okay. Did you invent the inside-outside shoulder thing, Billy? Was that you?
No, Robert Finch.
Okay.
Okay, can I just ask you, did you watch Friday night? You didn't have an ink on Friday night?
Yes, I did. Ask me what I had on.
So you didn't see Darius Boyd race out and hit?
No, I was with Eric Grath and the Gurus.
Oh, yeah.
At
I was talking to
Heathcote,
him.
Club Heathcote.
I was talking to him at a 4X goal function. He doesn't think you're that good on the mic, you're telling me, Eric.
Yeah, and he's right.
Nice sponsors plug too, Gordy.
Sorry?
Continue. No, sponsors plug. Continue.
Mate, hey, listen here, you.
But no, I didn't.
Doing what you did to me on Instagram, you're lucky I still talk to you.
Mate, you loved it on Instagram.
So, I thought it was hilarious.
So Gordy does a big walk. Dragons are on the attack here, but they're cut down. So Gordy does this great walk. It was our Friday game.
I remember watching it.
Yeah, and he does this great walkout. And I said to the boys at the time, Dave, our audio producer, said, we need the John Travolta Saturday Night Fever music. So I went and found it and put it up on Instagram.
You did that yourself.
Oh, you stop pulling your microphone out. It's the third time you've done that. Yeah, I know I did it myself. Okay. Turn him off.
Leave it to the professionals.
We're taking a break. We're coming back. Triple M rocking the footy. It's the Sharks and the Seagulls coming up after this.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. Triple M Footy.
Let's go!
For Ream Hot Water.
Another Newcastle try. Mitchell Pearce has scored 38-0 over the Dragons, and there's still 26 to go. We're going to have to pull out the record books because this will be their biggest win in a long, long time.
Mitchell Pearce, what a player.
Are you going to talk him up now New South Wales?
No, mate, I think they were under the pump about 4 weeks ago, mate. The coach was getting sacked, and Mitchell Pearce, and there was all these rumours. But Anzac Day, the best on ground, they backed it up the week later, and, mate, their last month of footy is as good as any team's month of footy.
Well, you got him in your Origin team, haven't you, Gertz?
Yeah. And I've been watching him play today, and they could do a lot worse. Look, I think it's going to come down to him and Adam Reynolds, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think Adam Reynolds is in great form and got a great kicking game. I don't think he has the same sort of energy in attack. And I don't think he's as good a defender as Mitchell is. And the thing is with Mitchell, you put him out there on that right-hand side, he's going to be coming up against Munster, so you need good defence. And he's also going to be coming up against a guy called Kalen Ponga, who's tearing the Dragons apart, who plays with Mitchell on a weekly basis, who Mitchell's going to know his game, he's going to train against him. So I just think that – and look, don't forget when Mitchell played and
– not too many scars?
Look, I just think that it's a different group. You know, and he's going to play with a lot of support. He's going to have an outstanding 5'8". He's going to have probably one of the best players in the world in Tedesco at the back. He's going to have Mitchell on his outside. He's going to have Cook at dummy half. Don't forget the side that he's going in there with. And don't forget the side that he's playing this time as well. There's no Smith and Cronk and Thurston and Slater and Inglis. Even though Queensland have a good side, if I was Freddie, I definitely wouldn't be scared at having a look at him.
Jeez, if they lost that first one in Brisbane, you know it's his fault, regardless of whether it is or not.
Take.
Well, you got to take some chances. Whoever you put in there, they lose, you're going to cop it. That's the origin.
Listen, he wasn't playing with Cook. He wasn't playing with Tedesco at the back.
Oh, I'm always sceptical of you.
No. Hey, mate, I'm telling you now, if I'm buying a club and there's him and Nathan Cleary, I know who I'm buying.
Fair enough.
Okay. Here we go. If you're buying a club now and you got to choose between those two, who do you pick right now to win a comp this year?
To win a comp this year?
Or next year?
Pearce.
That's
but,
right.
But I've got so 10 what do you years to clear it.
Okay. So, so you're hoping to win Origin in three years' time?
Fair enough. All right.
You just answered James' question.
You may have got me. Let's do this.
All eyes for the Honourable Judge Billy.
Honourable.
I can't win all the time, Gordy. Let's go, Billy.
Well, over the last couple of years, I've always gone in the bat for the players and the way we play our game. And I've always stressed the importance of the way we tackle these days. If you look at the 90s and the early 2000s, the tackle was about getting the bloke on the ground as quick as you can, even though you're stopping the offload. But the amount of leg injuries, and if you have a look at the amount of leg injuries that are coming out of the rounds, 13 players on the sidelines after last week's Magic Round, and 10 of them are all leg injuries. If you go back through the clubs, Manly have had 9 injuries, 8 of them are legs. The Knights, out of 5 injuries, 4 of them are legs. Cowboys, 5. 3 of them are legs. And then you've got Raiders, 6 injuries at the moment, 4 of them are legs, and the Rabbits, 7 and 5 are legs. It's the leg injury, it's the pressure that you're getting on the players when the first one goes in, holds him up, second one joins in, and then they try to take him backwards all the time. And the legs are twisting, the knees, the ankles are all twisting. And if they're not getting injured in that tackle, it's wear and tear. So instead of seeing these forwards last 10 years in the game, we're going to see them last 5 and 6 because of the leg injuries. That's really.
So how do we fix it?
Go back to just getting them on the ground. Stop this bloke going in third, wrapping around the legs with a big hit and then toppling them backwards. Get them on the ground as quick as you can. There's that one. The next one is this one. This is to the referees. You know I support you 100%. If you penalise players offside at the kickoffs, great work. You penalise them in front of the kicker on line dropouts, great work. But you can't penalise people offside at the kickoff and then let the penalty kick taken 2 and 3 metres in front of the mark, which what happened when St George played Parramatta and they penalised St George for being offside at the kickoff. And then Moses comes straight up, has the kick and kicks the ball 2 to 3 metres in front of the mark. It can't be done. It doesn't look right. So if you're going to penalise for offside, make sure when they get the penalty, they're taking their tap or their penalty kick on the mark.
Oh. Whack.
I really like the first one, Billy. I don't think it'll ever happen. But I cringe when I see, you know, the modern day defence, how people get held up and we get those third men in, and those third guys can be between 95 and 110 kilos just jamming in, even if it's above the knees. To me, it just
it's
doesn't matter.
It's supposed to be it's supposed to be above the knees, but then I thought it was about the short level. Like, it had to be up, you know, like around the shorts.
I couldn't cringe.
Be low. It's horrible.
I see those guys there, they're getting held up and you just see guys just zeroing in. I mean, it's just...
Also go in for the topple where they'll go in and grab the legs and lock them up, arms around the legs, lock them up tight, while the two up top then topple him over but back towards their own goal line, so they're going backwards. But the problem when they do that... When that guy locks up their legs, there's nowhere to move. So there's just twisting of the knees and the limbs, the ankles are being twisted and taken out of whack. So there's strains, all the ligaments, the tendons, if not injuring him in that tackle. How many times do you see a player get up now and start limping as they walk away and they've got to limp for 5 or 10 minutes to get to run the injury out of the leg, and then they're iced up for the next week and they're not playing?
Good judge, Billy. Good one. Just seen some interesting images of... Michael Ennis handing the jersey to Andrew Fifita, playing his 200th game. Would have been nice if Fifita looked at him while he was giving a speech, but there we go. That was the...
Oh, teammates. You don't listen to teammates.
It wasn't exactly inspiring, was it?
Oh, the menace. No. Well, he,
no, I mean
I
that
I don't know
image.
What he was saying.
I don't know that...
Well,
that
I don't know what he was saying. It was a long time.
You know? All right. Okay. Anyway.
It looked like a long speech.
200...
He's an assistant coach there, isn't he?
No, Canberra now. He's at Canberra.
Okay. I didn't know.
There you go. 38-0 Newcastle over the Dragons. They've got one in the bin, though, the Knights. Kurt Mann's gone for 10, so 20 minutes to go in this game. Maybe the Dragons can put some tries on the board to make this score just a little bit more respectable. It's the Sharks and the Seagulls. Triple M rocking the footy as we do it for Ream and for Maccas.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. For McDonald's.
Get your boots out!
Triple M Footy.
Yes, indeed. Half an hour away from this cracking Sunday afternoon clash between the Sharks and the Manly Seagulls. Beautiful, bright, sunny day at Shark Park. There is one change, not to the Sharks. They're 1-17, thanks to Mongrel Boots. Manly, Lachlan Croker again misses as he battles injury. Cade Cust, a 20-year-old from Scone.
What do you know about him? Dan, anything?
He's 20-year-old from Scone.
Okay, that's about all I know as well.
Yeah, and he's a halfback, okay. So he gets a chance. There's some raps on him on the beaches, so he gets a crack
scone
with
or
Kane
scone.
LG.
Scone or Scone?
Scone. Oh. It's pronounced.
Could go one, couldn't you, though?
Good scone.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's
a
man.
A bit of jam and
cream. For celebrations.
He knows where to go for those.
Here's a...
Hey?
You know where to go for those.
Where?
My joint. Mum's.
Oh,
oh, that's right, when you smoked the peace pipe.
Yes, we had scones, jam and cream.
I thought it was Bickies. I thought Mum made Anzac biscuits.
Cup of tea.
Here's Brent Reed with our man John. No, our man's Brent Reed. He's speaking with the Sharks man, John Morris, and this is thanks to celebrations.
John, the guy's been playing good football and faced a pretty big injury toll. And also really happy with the way the side's progressing.
Yeah, I am, you know. It's been hard for, you know, to have to see the talent we've got on the sidelines, but yeah. I don't know, I think the penny dropped probably after the Broncos game. We weren't going to get anyone back in a hurry, and you know, we had a good chat and said, well, you know, the 17 blokes who are taking the field every week are expected to go out there and do a job, no matter if you're playing your first game or fifth game or whatever, and you know, and they've just all jumped into it. Well, so the last few weeks, you know, the focus has just been on who we are putting out in the park, you know, not who's on the sideline, and mate, they've just done a real good job. And as you said, the effort's really good, and they're finding a way to get it done. So massive challenge for us today, though, up against a big Manly side.
Yeah, obviously the big forward pack, that's obviously where it starts, I assume.
Yeah, I think obviously you look at that side and a very experienced pack there, with particularly Fanoa Blake coming into it, and Marty Tapao and Jake Ichivojevic, so experienced back roles. So it's going to be a big game in the middle third today, looking forward to it, but you know, we need to nullify their forward pack if we're to get the job done today.
There's a lot more responsibility fall on the likes of Gallen for Fafita in that situation when, you know, you're up against a big forward pack. They're your leaders, I suppose.
Yeah, obviously looking for those guys to lead the way, which they have done well, you know, throughout the year. And yeah, hopefully we don't need any more motivation to get up for this one today, being Andrew's 200th game as well. So it's certainly want to send him out with a win. And, you know, Gow performed well last week. We lost both front rows early in the game, and he played about 60 minutes or so in the middle. So, you know, he's in good form, the skipper, and hopefully he leads the way again today.
He's had a hell of a career, Andrew, for Fafita. He seems to have turned a corner in life, not just in footy. I mean, how have you found him?
Yeah, he has actually. His whole pre-season, you know, he's matured a lot, and you know, and that's why I gave him a couple of games this year as captain. He did do a few games there as well last year, but his leadership, to me, this year has gone to another level. He's really showing a lot of care for the young guys and helping to bring them through, and he's doing a lot of good things off the field that, you know, not many people know about. And he's really you know, worked hard on his game, and he's always in my office and looking at his game and ways he can improve. And I've just seen another side to him, and I'm real happy for him, and you know, he means a lot to us.
There's one thing you've got to do well today against Manly. What is it?
Yeah, I think it's our defence. I think we need to really you know, jump into them physically. I think we need to win that physical battle, and you know, not let them roll us down the field with their big men. So it's a defensive mindset for us today, and you know, hopefully we can score some points on the back of it.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Reedy. Have you noticed Reedy uses that question now? That's your copyright.
Oh, listen. Reedy. Reedy's my man.
He's your man. I'm not. That's a good question. But you brought that question to the rugby league lexicon. If there's one you can do, what would it be?
I reckon I use big boppers too early, and that's out there everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Gus was big on big boppers.
And big hooers. I said, look at that big hooer.
Oh, what?
Big hooer. Big bopper. Big same thing.
Oh, I think it meant something else.
No, nah, just a big hooer.
Dragons have scored a couple of tries, but it's all Newcastle. 38-12. The Knights 14 to go. Kurt Mann's in the bin, so the Dragons have taken advantage. Their last try was to Zach Lomax. Who scored the first try? Might have been Tarek Sims, but the Knights flying. Kalen Ponga has scored a double. And... the Knights will go to 5 wins and 5 losses. The Dragons will slump to 4-6. You know, they've only won one game since they re-signed Paul McGregor.
Just when you said Lomax, it reminded me of Quinton Pongia passed away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was pretty sad at Gerds. I know that you would have played against him too. He's, you know, I always knew he was battling it, but, yeah, a tough critter, and he's gone. I think he was 47. 48.
Yeah, 48.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. So condolences to his family. And I know he played at the Raiders, Roosters, I think Warriors.
Yeah, St. George.
Dragons. Spent some time up on the beaches too. He was doing some development there with Manly. So he was a lovely man, and condolences
Ricky
to
called him
family and friends.
The really toughest sad. Footballer he's ever played with. pretty fair praise.
They were just two front rowers, and you just spoke about it then. Johnny Lomax, Quinton Pongia, when you'd go down to Canberra and it was a cold night and you'd have to run out and face those two guys, it always made it just that little bit more difficult.
Absolutely, and one was a baby face. That was Johnny Lomax. He was really nice. Like, he was super nice guy, but he wanted to, like, inflict so much pain on you. But Quinton Pongia, you knew he wanted to flick pain on you, where like Johnny was a silent assassin, but Quinton was right in front of your face and you knew he was coming at you. So.
Part of one of the best rugby league sides, I think, almost of all time, too, that 94 side.
The best Raiders side.
I mean,
and they were always underrated, weren't they, those props?
Because I think he almost played 50 tests.
Yeah.
He played something like, yeah, over 40 tests.
Because look at that back line, Stewart, Daly, Mullins, Ndruku, Meninga, Wiki.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting Nagus. Kenny Nagus.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a back line. Yeah.
What about
and then Brent Clyde at the lock. Steve Walters at number 9.
Dave Ferner.
See, the sort of the front rowers didn't get the rap they deserved.
Mate, so the worst place. Jason, so you're going down there and you've got your game plan and, you know, you're standing there and, you know, you get good weather and next minute they start playing again. Mighty mean. And then you sort of start and your foot starts tapping because it's a real cool beat. And then Meninga, Clyde, yeah. Daly, Mullins, Stewart. I was like, does it stop?
Yeah.
The Ferner. I was like, oh, my God. And then you're in awe and then 60-0. Or 40-0 they beat us.
We got in case you missed it. And, boy, there was a lot of ground covered today on Sunday Triple M Footy. We'll do that right after this. Manly are out there warming up on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's the Sharks and the Seagulls. Triple M rocking your Sunday match of the day for Ream and for Maccas.
For Ream Hot Water. Triple M Footy. Triple M Footy for Ream Hot Water.
We are 15 minutes away from the Sharks and the Seagulls. Manly have won 15 of their last 17 against the Sharks. What a record that is. That's a Cronulla side that has made the finals in all those years bar one, and yet Manly have it all over them. Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler, Bill Harrigan, Dan Ganane, Des Hasler coming up shortly. Knights are in again.
Oh, played some great eyes up footy.
Was Ponga involved? Because he's a real footy player.
Yeah.
We were just going through some of our favourite rugby league cliches in the ad break.
Eyes up footy. Mate, he just dug into the line.
Newcastle certainly turned up today to play some footy.
And Ponga swings the conversion around 44-12.
Come on, Gertz.
Oh, they're just dominating the middle third, the Knights, today.
All those things that no one understands what you're talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what's A defender, B defender.
Oh, well, we say ABCs and then we go into 1-2-3s and eyes up footy and we dig into the line. I don't know what they're talking about. I've actually said to a couple of commentators, I said, listen, I actually don't know. I couldn't play the game that you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, don't confuse it, soldier.
There's got to be a stat we can work out, right? Somehow, what is the stat where you can judge effort? Because isn't the team that runs harder than
something? I've been thinking about this for about a week.
Yes, Rab's voice. Yes, Rab's impersonator. Is it post-contact meters?
No, that's rubbish too.
PCMs?
Right. because if I'm running at a halfback, of course I'm going to...
Wasn't that a club on Oxford Street? Anyway, go on.
Okay, and if I turn my back into the defence and go back, right? And I might make an extra 7 metres every time I run the ball.
But so you've slowed the ball there's three
people on top of me and I've got a 4-second play of the ball, which doesn't help the team. I think if you're watching your team play today and if they kick it and you got more of your team's jerseys in the picture, your team's having more of a go than the other.
Okay, so hang on. So
comes down to kick chase.
Widescreen TV.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Right? If there's a kick and then someone's running and then... You know, if a winger's going to the corner and you see four or five people come into a tackle to drive him over, you know
kick
that
the team's scramble.
On. Kick, chase, kick, scramble, and
KCS, the KCS index.
Yep.
The KCS index.
And more importantly, if your front rower that's 110 kilos is passing the footy, wife four, right? Come off the back fence and make the meters, right? You make the meters first.
Yes.
I want my back rower. I want a web kick coming off the back fence. Mm. And then I'm standing there on a 20-meter mark. And when he'd come off, and like we're playing at ANZ, and the water would come off his head forward or backwards, or like then if he knocked a defender over, I'm putting my hand up to run next. But if Webby gets hit and the water goes everywhere and he goes back like the boxer thing, I'm thinking, oh, shit, it's a long day now. But that's how you can gauge.
Whether
your front rowers are going hard, like Lodge and Payne has,
They're
like Gerds. It's simple. Mm. Front rowers, the simplest job, run hard. Don't try to play pretty. The coaches have given them all an option. If Wayne Bennett gave me an option to play at the back 12, and I had Ponga and Lomax and all that, and Smith Gillespie and Ian Roberts in front of me, what do you think I'm going to do?
You're passing that ball.
Absolutely, and that's what our game's created.
Oh. So we're going to come up with some way of judging that?
Yeah, the talent, yeah.
Well, listen, I will...
You just tell us.
Call the game today, and then you'll see, mate, you'll see by the kick chase how many players run down in the line. Mate, whether there's 10, mate, 10 is a great number, mate. If you get 10 guys down on a kick chase...
Well, they've turned up to play footy.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. They have.
All right, all
what
right.
What about if we get a pep meter?
The talent... We'll get that sponsored.
A penalty empathy predictor. On the referees. We'll get one of those too, eh?
Pep.
Okay, hey, good.
Mate, he's been wanting to get that out, like the cars driving to Newcastle, the electric car.
The Talus Index. We've got to get that sponsored. Mm. Now, we need a better name for it. It can't be KCS. That's too complicated. But
tell us about it.
That sounds like a breakfast radio segment. Mm. Speaking of segments, let's do this.
On Triple M Footy, in case you missed it, let's rewind a little.
That man, Gordon, tell us about it on the James Roberts situation at the Broncos.
Basically what they're trying to do is make it really hard for him so he quits the club so they don't have to pay for him. And I think it's sad when they talk about welfare of players now. You can't treat someone like that and keep on doing it until he quits the club. And they say, well, it's the off-field, you know, damage that he's done to the club. Well, no one's done more damage than what Matt Lodge has done, I think, off the field that's ever wore a Broncos jersey. So... I think there's a bit of BS in that, but I think James Roberts will stay put.
You know,
and I don't blame him, mate. I just go play reserve grade and grab my money.
Sorry for interrupting. You know why? Yeah, because players don't do that.
I've heard that before.
They don't. When they're forced into reserve grade, Gerds, they often do leave. So
they
the
do
club,
go.
So why wouldn't, if you're a club, use that tactic? Because it worked so often before.
Yeah,
mate.
I'm not saying it's right, but that's they've got away with it, so why not keep doing it?
Yeah, but to get your organisation with a bit of credibility, just go and say, and you don't like it.
Don't talk with your mouth full, you please.
Like, mate, you don't like it, but just say, hey, listen, mate, there's no room for you now, mate. You can go out there and look for another club, and if you find one, mate, you're more than welcome to go, and we'll match the money. But yeah, they don't want to do it because then the club will say there's 200 grand, and they've got to pay some back.
Okay. Some clubs don't want to come up against a player they get rid of either.
Oh.
Does damage to them when they go to
the James Maloney.
No, Gordy, finish that biscuit.
I did.
Let me... Yeah, haven't. You're still chewing it. Paul Kent on the Panthers dramas.
There's issues there that haven't come out at the moment. You're hearing rumours and innuendo.
Are you talking player-related?
I hear that there's factions, is probably the way.
Amongst the playing group.
Coalition.
And the fact, I'm just going to say, I think there's also a breakdown in the relationship since school went between Serraldo and Cleary.
Oh, dear. The only good news for you, Gerds, is that Penrith play on Thursday and you don't have to call that game.
Yeah, I'm actually doing Thursday's game.
Oh, no.
Out of back west. That's three in a row.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, Dan, it can only improve. The concern for me was watching Friday night's game was I didn't think it could get any worse than it did the week before, and I certainly didn't think they could put two in a row like that. Now, they certainly can't do three in a row like that. I don't care what sort of factions there are. I don't care what else is going on in the club. They cannot put in another performance like that on Thursday.
You've never sounded more like a used car salesman than you just did then.
Hey, Dave, bookmark.
We gave you a lemon last year. We gave you a lemon this year. But next year, we're giving you
Give me a plum. I'm going to get a plum on Thursday.
Now,
that could be run out again on Thursday at full time. Dave, make sure you got it marked and run that out. Those comments.
Brad Fittler was fabulous today, but he always is. And by the way, if you ever miss anything like the Freddie Fittler interview from our shows, you can listen to the catch-up podcast available exclusively through the Triple M NRL app.
Yeah, and I think it's great for both Origin coaches to come on and be so open.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it doesn't help us, but it helps the fans. So the guy's driving around, and can the NRL coaches take a leaf out of their book? You're not talking to the bloke with the mic or the bloke with the pen. You're talking to your fans.
Yeah, they're not obliged to do this. Like, it's not in their contract that they have to talk to Triple M on a Sunday 3 weeks out from game one. Mm. They just choose to do it because they understand the value of promotion. Anyway.
Can I get a promotion?
Now, Wayne Bennett, he made comments last night. He really ripped in, said, you cannot possibly pick the current New South Wales halves, Maloney and Cleary. And Brad Fittler had a lovely take on those comments.
I applaud Wayne nearly more than anyone that when he's coaching or he's involved in your team or club, that his entire energy and focus is there. And I have no doubt he's just in total support of his halves, and his halves are going absolutely brilliant. But I can't take that much advice as gospel when Wayne's trying to help New South Wales beat Queensland. So
I've got to
weigh it all up.
Oh, there's a lot of them trying to pick the side. They love you. They've really enjoyed the fact, the Queenslanders, that they've been able to focus in on this halfback. They've taken one issue for the New South Wales side, the biggest one, and they're all just going at it, aren't they?
No, we're not. Because I got a little.
No, you're not.
I got a little bit shirty because he's trying to pick and like having players in form. Mate, I want you to pick the blokes you picked last year. Simple as that.
Of course you do.
I know that. So I don't want you to pick these guys who are in form. But then as Brad kept on talking, I'm thinking he's helping South. If they go play Origin, all of a sudden they come back and they might have a down period, but he's dealt that before. He knows how to come out of the back of an Origin. But if you've got Cook in your halves playing Origin, that is a big shot in the arm come finals time.
Can't hurt, sorry to interrupt again. Jeez, I'm doing that a lot today. Can't hurt that you've got Reynolds and Walker hearing that, thinking, oh, my God, that's my coach speaking for me like that.
That's what I was going to say. It also reinforces the fact that, you know, Wayne's out there giving them a lot of compliments as well, which builds their confidence and lets them know that their coach has got their back. And, yeah, there's a lot of, obviously, reasons the master manipulator's playing that card. And he, as Freddie said in the interview, he does it so well, especially when he's up and about in times like these. He's the best at it.
And speaking of Nathan Cleary, as part of the conversation, this is Freddie's assessment of him.
If you're a half coming from a team where your forward don't have any go, then you're going to get no good footy. And if you have a look at his stats, Nathan, he had 20 runs, the most runs in the whole team. He ran for more metres than every other forward in his team bar James Tarmail. You know, he's out playing every one of his forwards as a half, and I was a half. If your forwards aren't ripping in, then you can't do anything.
How bad is that?
Yeah, I didn't realise. One thing you can always say about Nathan every week is he's trying.
Oh, he has a crack.
He never goes missing, and he's getting absolutely no help at the moment. And Freddie's right, he's played in the halves more than most people.
What is your vibe? What is your feeling? You're pretty tight with Freddie. I don't know if he's told you anything, but what you know him, how he thinks. What do you think? Where do you think he's leaning?
I think he'll go with form. I think he doesn't want to create a story about the selection in a negative way. I think he'll certainly feel like he needs to not just reward. Obviously, the first game's super important. It's up there in Queensland. I think he'll take that into consideration as well. I think he'll go with form.
Full time. 45-12. Mitchell Pearce nailed a field goal at the end, and they, after that thumping win over the Dragons, have moved up to fifth. Now, Manly or Cronulla will overtake them, both if it's a golden point draw, but one of them will. But they're going to be sixth at the end of the round. This is a team that was 1-5. They were finished. They were gone the Knights.
Brandon was gone, wasn't he?
Oh, he's only got an agreement where it can be sacked on 4 weeks' notice. Well. Yep. He's got them 5-5. Don't book your finals ticket in yet, but they're tracking in the right direction. We've got to take one more break, and then it is all about the Sharks and the Seagulls. Des Hazel will join us on the other side as Triple M rocks the Sunday match of the day.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy.